This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. We do this every Monday and Thursday night right here, 6:15 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. And if you miss it, we have you covered in podcast form the next day on Apple and Spotify. But however you're listening, make sure you're liking, subscribing, giving us a good review, because we never want you to miss a new episode. My name is Chris Shad, and I'm a contributor at the Viking Age as well as Zone Coverage and Bring Me the News. On your right is my co-host, Adam Patrick, who is the managing editor of the Viking Age podcast. We are in full swing at Vikings training camp as the pads came on today. So, Adam, first question right off the bat. You excited for some banging and clanging on the field?
Of course. This is where we find out, you know, if all the surprise players from the first few days are for real, if they can stay healthy for the rest of preseason. You know, we've heard a lot about Andrew Booth Jr. making some noise, but he's been known in the past to get banged up a little bit. And Irv Smith Jr. as well. Pads he went on today, and he had to leave exit practice early with a trainer. No word on that yet, but hopefully it's nothing too serious. Hopefully it's just like some hydration issues or cramping. But right now, we don't know. But yeah, of course, I like getting the pads on, because then we can kind of tell more with the whole team gets involved, the defensive line, the offensive line, things get more physical in terms of the receiver and DB battles. Pads are more fun. You get to learn more about the team and what they're probably capable of.
At this point, it's just baby steps towards the regular season for me. So right now you have pads coming on, right? I mean, we had camp starting last week. Now we got the pads coming on. Soon we're going to have a preseason game. Then you go to the second preseason, then third, then you have roster cuts and everything else just leading up to September 11th against the Packers. So, I mean, the longer this goes, I don't want to say the better, but I mean, with each step, you gradually get more excited. And I'm already jacked for the season to begin. I didn't think I would be like 3 months ago, but I mean, just hearing all the things that are coming out of training camp, the vibes right now are so much better than they were a year ago.
It's the word.
I like that. If everybody's feeling good, I mean, everybody's like, well, they haven't lost a game yet, but who cares? Like, right. Honestly, at this point, I would rather have them going into the season like this, sunshine and roses, not losing a game, rather than last year. They didn't lose a game at this time last year either, and they all wanted to like fight each other. So this is good.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they do in the preseason, because I feel like Zimmer kind of took it pretty seriously. Like, he wanted to win those games, and I'm sure, you know, Kevin O'Connell probably does as well, but I'm curious to see like how much he really puts into, you know, winning a preseason game as much as he does just evaluating players on the field, which is what those games should be used for. But it seemed more like, was it the preseason game where Mike Zimmer went for two or whatever after Daniel Carlson missed an extra point?
Yep.
And he wanted to send a message to his kicker in the preseason. So yeah, he might have taken those games a little more serious than most people probably should. So I'm curious to see how Kevin O'Connell approaches those. But yeah, I think their first preseason game is, I want to say, the 14th or 15th, 16th, around there. So we got about 15. Yeah, I got about 2 weeks. So it'll be here before we know it.
I'm just thinking about the week 18 game and Mike Zimmer being like, I win games. And it's like, yeah, well, I think the 0-16 Browns went 4-0 in the preseason. Was that
the Lions?
Right?
The Lions
did. Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're just looking for individual players. You're looking for somebody to, you know, spark.
Yeah.
So somebody to show up and just make themselves known on the field. We'll stick with Egan for now and what's going on over there, because over the weekend, the Vikings asked fans not to shoot film during practice. And predictably, they did it anyway, because, you know, got to get our Twitter followers up.
Gotta get some likes.
They had signs all over TCO Performance Center this weekend telling spectators to be a part of the team, and everybody LOL'd. And one example was Vikings territory writer Sean Borman, who filmed a route by Justin Jefferson, seemed pretty harmless, right? Nothing wrong there. And then the dark world of the internet went into their Sean McVay folders and went, this is the exact play. Hey, they should have just added the Packers, you know, just like, hey, man, what's up? So, are the Vikings overreacting to this, or do you think that there's something to, hey, don't do this, help us out?
I mean, their NFL teams, their coaches are going to be paranoid. You know, they want control. They think they can control the fans, whatever they do, they can't. There's just too many to do that. You know, I think it's interesting that some of the people with, like, the people that are recording have like thousands of followers, and they're just assuming that, you know, the Vikings probably aren't going to contact them for posting things when, you know, it's a privilege to go to training camp, as much as, you know, it's your right as a fan or whatever. It's still a privilege. They can kick you out if they want to. They can look you up and email you and be like, hey, you can't do this or you can't come. So I think it's just interesting. But I did notice that most of the people who were recording on Sunday or Saturday, whenever it was, that they've resorted to just some descriptions of what's going on in the field, maybe some photos here and there. So it's not as blatant. So that's good. Cause I think they got a lot of blowback from some of the fans being like, hey, do we really need to record every single play that they run and practice and post this? Like, who's this helping? It's not helping the Vikings, because they already have film of it. It's only helping people that aren't there at the practice who could be other teams. Not that I think like the Vikings are running their whole entire like offense in training camp, but you can sort of see what they're thinking of doing as far as formations. And maybe, you know, I saw a couple instances where Justin Jefferson got like some jet sweeps or whatever. And, you know, so teams will be more aware of that. And just it's a lot easier to, I feel like, be prepared if you see a video clip compared to just photos, which, you know, a lot of the beat reporters, they just describe what's going on in the field. And I think that is, yeah, just policy for the media anyways. You can't record video unless it's like during drills.
And I don't think Sean's video was like intended to like, some people are like recording all 22s like from the top of the stadium, which I think that's a little wild in my opinion. But I mean, something like, hey, look at this route by Jefferson. That's all he meant to do. And then all of a sudden, you know, people are going into their Sean McVay file. And I think that the Vikings are at a bit of a disadvantage here because Sean McVay's offense has been so studied. I mean, when you're the Jesus Christ of coaching, like Sean McVay is, people are going to try to emulate you. They're going to try to put staples of that into their playbook. So for a guy like Kevin O'Connell, who comes from that tree, people are looking at, hey, what's he going to do? What's he going to put in there? There's that layer of intrigue. That being said, Kevin O'Connell's not going to spill the entire playbook during training camp.
Yeah, he's even said that he's not. He's going to run bland plays when fans are there.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing. Think of it this way. So if we're sitting here going like, man, like we could tell what he's running right now in training camp, what else does he have planned?
Right.
Like, A, what else does he have planned? And B, how boring was the offense last year where it was just like, oh man, they're running motion and jet sweeps and whatever. Like, remember when everybody lost their minds over Justin Jefferson lining up in the backfield on one play and they never did it again? Yeah. You know why they never did it again? Because probably Mike Zimmer went right to Clint Kubiak and be, you know,
don't do that.
It's
they scored like a touchdown on that play?
Yeah, they did. Because Jefferson came out of the backfield and caught a pass, I believe. Yeah. It's like in Major League when Willie Mays Hayes makes the catch by his hip and he goes back to the dugout and Lou Brown. I was going to call him Lou Brock, but that's not right. Lou Brown sitting there and is like, nice catch, Hayes. Don't bleep and do it again. Like, that's basically what happened there. So, I mean, fans are going to fan, like you mentioned, but I don't think the whole playbook's coming out during training camp.
No, it's not. He said previously it's going to be when fans are there, when media's there, whatever, it's going to be bland. He's not going to give anything away. And, you know, it's just, I think fans have to be careful too, because, you know, the Vikings can, you know, maybe next year they don't like that the fans are recording, so they reduce the amount of practices the fans can attend. And they can do that. People can get mad, but they can do that. That's their choice. If they feel like that's what they need to do to improve their chances or whatever, which I don't think so. I don't think whatever happens in a practice in July or August is really going to help you in November. But yeah, a lot of the stuff they're running is pretty bland. I do think it's interesting. From the most part, what I've seen, a lot of shotgun compared to the old Kubiak style offenses, which was more under center, more play action oriented. And this one just seems just like get the ball and fire away. Don't take too long. Just get out of your hands, which I like, which is what should happen, because it gives Kirk Cousins less time to think, which is something that he needs, because if he gets back there and he can't find anyone open enough for him, then that's when he starts to falter. And so this should help him out. But in my heart, I don't really have a problem. I like seeing the highlights, but I can understand why people like coaches and stuff are like, we don't want that, because they it's called a game of inches for a reason. So they view it as like any of these clips, if they help the other team in any other way, that could make a difference in the game. I don't think so. Maybe a little dramatic, but that's probably how they're thinking. It's like game be decided by 1 point, and they could know what play's coming next because that one play you ran in August. So that's probably how they think.
Here's the thing. I mean, if teams want to scout the Vikings in training camp, they'll find a way. Okay. Like, if the Packers want to send over a scout in a Chris Boyd jersey, they'll probably just do it. Like,
Belichick's already got a guy in the stands.
What's that?
I said Belichick's probably already got a guy in the stands. They're playing the Patriots this year.
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably got
for sure do.
His kid party in the front, and
I don't know. He's pretty, yeah.
In the front, party in the back.
He's pretty noticeable sitting there with like his tongue out and everything. Probably
no. Justin Jefferson in the backfield. Hey, speaking of mullets, Jared Allen's going into the Ring of Honor. How's that for a transition?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Jared Allen's going to be the 27th member of the Ring of Honor during a halftime ceremony during the October 30th game against the Arizona Cardinals. Allen ranks sixth in franchise history with 85.5 sacks per Pro Football Reference. They went back and looked at all of the sacks because it became official statistic in 1982 for whatever reason. He is 16th in NFL history, but 12th officially with 136 career sacks. The only players ahead of him are DeMarcus Ware and Terrell Suggs. Those are the two that are not in the Hall of Fame, rather. Those two probably will be in there. Jared Allen will probably be in there soon enough. So, Mr. Jared Allen, what is your favorite Jared Allen memory?
I think it was either the season where he had 22 sacks, or it was just that one moment. And I think it was that terrible Monday night game where Josh Freeman started. But Jared Allen had a sack where he basically reached around the offensive lineman and grabbed Eli Manning by like the jersey and just wouldn't let go of him. And he couldn't see anything. He could just feel Eli Manning on the other side, and he got a sack. So I like that. I liked his performance against the Packers in the Metrodome in 2009. I think he had 3 or 4 sacks that night. And obviously the infamous incident in the Metrodome against Donald Penn, where, you know, he's bleeding from his nose or forehead or whatever. So yeah, and just always the sack celebration. It's always a good one. I don't think anyone has ever really emulated that. But yeah, he's fun player to watch. I don't think he ever took plays off or anything. I felt like he was always 100% full steam ahead every play, which I think was which made it really fun to watch him. So yeah, I enjoyed Jerry Allen's time with the Vikings.
He was the 2009 Vikings version of John Randall, when you think about it. Just his intensity, his propensity to make big plays that changed the momentum of a game. Kind of towards the end of his tenure, he was kind of playing hero ball with that 22-sack season. If it weren't for Brett Favre laying down, he'd probably have the record. But that's another podcast. You know, what I loved about Jared Allen was that he was just hilarious off the field. Like, you saw it on the field a little bit, but I mean, the Kenny Mayne main event pieces that he did were absolutely legendary, because there's one where they talked about what players do once they're eliminated from the playoffs. and Jared Allen sitting there in like a desert or something, just like they're talking about like throwing a rock across America. And he's like, what I do, I pick it up, I throw it, and I walk to it again, and then I throw it again. And when somebody comes up to me, they're just like, hey man, what are you doing? He goes, I'm rocking America. And I give him some knowledge about foreign countries. Like, he had no problem doing stupid little things. And I think
he was in Jackass.
That's what I remembered. Wait, he was in Jackass?
I think so. I think one of the second or the third one, he was in one of them. He creamed Johnny Knoxville, just annihilated him, which was great. But yeah, he was in Jackass, and he did photo shoots with like a mullet and is like holding, well, I don't even remember, was he holding the goat or a puppy or something? Just hilarious stuff. He's a good character. He better have a mullet when he goes into the Hall of Fame.
He still got it.
You know what? And they should cut the sleeves off of his purple jacket that he's going to get. Cut the sleeves off. Come on.
Like, I was laughing during his press conference with the media, and like, he just stopped and like said like little things, and he's just like, yeah, nice setup, very old school, it's very modern in there, and like the planes are flying ahead. He's like, is this Baghdad? Like, what's going on here?
But can't help himself.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's just kind of the guy he is. Where in terms of characters in Vikings history do you think Jared Allen ranks?
He's up there. You mentioned John Randall. He's got to be number one. He's still out of his mind. If you saw the Viking schedule video from this year, he's just the same person he was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe even better, because he's got nothing else to do.
He punched a horse.
Yeah.
Well, he just said an actual horse.
He punched the horse and just said Colts. that's how he introduced the Colts. I wrote some down. So I got Jared Allen, John Randall, and then like there's some random ones. I was hard to like think in terms of specific mannerisms that make you a kicker character. You know, you got Brett Favre. He's gonna be known for some shenanigans, just being overall just goofy on the sidelines. Even Randy Moss, he had a bunch of fun. Get some of those mic'd ups, and he's just, you know, talking about playing PlayStation and stuff and all that stuff. Chris Cluey, character for a different reason. Multiple different reasons. Even Chris Carter, just talking trash to people all the time. You could say Mike Zimmer's a character because he just didn't care about anything that people said. He'd just destroy the referees if they made a mistake. Say Mike Tice, just because he's a buffoon, pretty much. You could say Kirk Cousins, just because of his like antics of just like not really knowing what's going on around him, pretty much, and not really being able to ever read the room. Let's go with Chris Boyd. He's got a little character in him. He's supposed to be the funny guy. You know, he celebrates. He posts Instagram pictures when he celebrates 15-yard penalties. So yeah, those are some of the guys that I thought of.
I feel like you're trying to trigger me with that last one.
No, I know how much you love Chris Boyd, he's missed a couple practices already this year. It's not helping his case, man. Can't make the team in the club in the tub. There you go.
Maybe it's a tight asshole. I don't know. But I would say, I mean, you hit the big ones. John Randall obviously was one of them. Yeah. I was thinking of. I mean, it's just hard when you watch any mic'd up video with John Randall. It's just hilarious.
How's your kids? How's your wife?
Yeah. He looked up dudes in the media guide to talk trash about them during a game. Like, insane. It does the Brett Favre chicken
pre-internet
commercial pre-internet. Too. Yeah. Oh yeah. He's
at home. Commercial. Yeah. He's got to order.
Like, John Randall just sitting in a library, just like
Yeah. John Randall.
Oh man, that's awesome. Randy Moss, obviously. Moss was just maybe he just had like four big quotes while he was here, but I mean, they were all huge. Like any Viking fan that doesn't know Straight Cash, homie, it's your freaking handle. Like, you know, I mean, how can he not be a character?
I play when I want to play.
Yeah. If you want to go back in the Wayback Machine. Oh, by the way, Pat Williams, only because of one quote. Before the 2009 game against the Cowboys, he was talking about Jerry World and how big and shiny he is. And he's like, they got to come up here. We got to roll our windows down with the cranks. Like, maybe that's it. But that quote always stands out with me. Mm-hmm. I was watching Luke Braun's History of the Vikings that dropped over the weekend. I gotta watch which that. It is fantastic. If you have not gotten the chance to go look up Luke Braun on Twitter, he's got the link for it and it is very good. But one of the characters that he pointed out was Jim Marshall, who nearly died in a snowmobile incident in Wyoming. To stay warm, they had to burn the cash in his wallet to create a fire. Jeez. And one of the guys with him died. He also skydiving and did a whole bunch of other things. I think, Jim Marshall's still alive. Yeah. That's a guy.
Yeah. I was trying to think of like older guys, but it's just hard when you don't grow up with them. Like I was thinking maybe Fran Tarkenton, was he ever like,
Jerry Burns.
Yeah. Jerry Burns. He had that rant. I know that. I was thinking about him, but I didn't know if like that was kind of like,
well, that was him. That was his thing. That was not a random pop-up. Like Jerry Burns, he cussed like crazy. Yeah. So that was not a bit.
And I feel like Bud Grant was probably just like a character. Like he has his own way of being a character. Like even now going out 2015 with no coat on and 0 degree weather. And just if you ever listen to an interview with him on like the Levitar or something, and he's just like, he's Bud Grant. He just like, he talks about his garage sale or whatever. And like, if somebody tries to negotiate you, what do you say, Bud? And he goes, take a walk. it's like, he's himself. He doesn't ever, he's genuine. And I think that's what a lot of these characters have probably in common. Definitely Jared Allen for sure.
So do you think Jared Allen will be in the Hall of Fame someday?
Yeah, he should be in next year. He's been a finalist the last 2 years. So he's been close. I'm not sure how someone, you know, props to Richard Seymour or whatever, but I'm not really sure how someone like him gets in before Jared Allen. I feel like Jared Allen was more impressive in his career than someone like that, someone like Ty Law. But a lot of these guys get the benefit of the doubt because they won a ring with the Patriots. So they get that. But he should be in next year, if not the year after. I think some people thought he might have been first ballot. That's how good he was. When he got to the Vikings, he was just so dominant. That time period that he was with the Vikings, I believe 6 seasons, he had more sacks than anybody in the NFL. So he was, and I think he made 4 all-pro teams.
Mm-hmm.
So he was arguably the best pass rusher in the NFL during his prime. So he definitely deserves a spot in Canton. He definitely should have a mullet on his bust. And cut the sleeves off the gold jacket, too.
Yeah. Some old people would probably have a coronary like, thing is sacred. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Or you should just go up with like a fake one and just like rip them off during the ceremony. That would be tremendous. I agree with you. I think, like you mentioned, he was one of the best pass rushers in the NFL during his time. Yep. And I think that, you know, he definitely deserves to be in the Ring of Honor. And he even joked too. Oh, he's like, I should be there with Kevin Williams, another guy.
How did Kevin Williams get in before Jared Allen, by the way?
Yeah, that's a weird one.
That's bad.
He was drafted earlier though. I mean, he was drafted in what, 2003? He was Suggs draft.
Is there a waiting period for the Ring of Honor too now?
I don't know.
Hall of Fame.
I don't know. They were both there a while. Like Kevin Williams, like you barely noticed him. He was good. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But I mean,
six-time All Pro, I think he was.
Yeah. He was not John Randall, but he was just a different player. He was just all around.
He was more Danielle Hunter, and Jared Allen was more Everson Griffin.
That
more recent comparison. Also, Jared Allen, I don't think if we mentioned, he's kind of like a semi-pro curler.
Yeah.
He and a bunch of other like old football players tried out for the Olympics. I don't know. I don't think they made it, but they were in the trials and everything. And you know, I think they practice in Minnesota when they do it. So yeah, he's a giant person curling on the ice. So
that'd be fun to go curling and just have Jared Allen show up with a six pack of beer. Just like, hey man, what's up?
That's such a weird sport. Like, I don't know. It's weird and fascinating at the same time. You're like, you're using a broom? Like an actual broom to like slow this down? Okay, whatever.
I bet it'd be fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'd fall on my ass.
Yeah. As long as you get over that, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right. So for our final topic today, we'll talk about the top story in the NFL. Where it is nice to not talk about a quarterback named Kirk Cousins, but this is a totally different thing. Deshaun Watson was suspended by 6 games by the NFL this morning. Disciplinary judge Sue L. Robinson handed down the ruling in a 15-game report on Monday. She said she looked to determine the difference between violent and nonviolent sexual conduct, said that the 25 allegations of sexual assault, misconduct, or whatever the exact word term is, did not fall in the category of violent conduct. And she said that 6 games was by far the most common suspension used in these cases. So what do you think about the Watson ruling?
If you go by past people who've been accused of sexual assault or sexual harassment allegations in the past in the NFL, Ben Roethlisberger and Ezekiel Elliott, they got 6 games too.
Mm-hmm.
But each of them only had one accusation against them. Deshaun Watson had, let's see, he settled 24 lawsuits against him, 24, 25, around that range. Then the Texans settled 30 lawsuits related to him that they were sued for. So that's a lot more than one. But apparently the only ones that were like this judge or arbiter, I guess you should call her. She can't be a judge. It's not a court of law. But apparently she was only given like the cases that were investigated by the NFL, which was like 4 or 5. But then it's like, so you just ignore the other 20, the other 25, like that just doesn't matter because the NFL didn't investigate them. Like it seems weird to me that was just pushed to the side. Like, oh, those don't matter because the NFL didn't investigate them. So they don't exist. So you get 6 games. It sounds like the NFL is going to appeal that, maybe try and get more. I think the NFL wanted to suspend him at least 12 games. That's the rumor going around. 12 games and like an $8 million fine. Whew, that'd really make a dent in his wallet. But I think Mike Garafolo of NFL Network said that the league probably plans to appeal. I would think that the guy who works for the TV station owned by the league probably knows or has some of an idea what they're going to do. So I'd expect them to appeal it. Maybe 8 games what he ends up with, but still it's like, and then the Browns release like this, like the owners released this terrible statement where they said that, you know, we're sorry that people were triggered by this, which is like the worst possible word you could use. And, you know, Deshaun Watson has expressed remorse for what he's been accused of, which is the exact opposite of what the arbiter said in her report, that a big reason why she gave him 6 games was because he didn't express remorse. So it was just a terrible statement. The Haslams are awful owners. They've handled the situation terribly. And then, you know, the Browns basically have handled it terribly. But yeah, I'm not surprised. I wish I wasn't. I feel like if the NFL came down on this harder, like NFL, like a year, give them a year, like just set the standard. Like, this is not allowed. This is not acceptable because Calvin Ridley placed one bet when he was injured, a parlay for $1,500, and he's suspended for an entire season. Guys have been suspended for entire seasons for smoking weed. DeAndre Hopkins suspended for 6 games this year because he tested positive for a banned substance. He didn't touch a woman. He wasn't accused of touching a woman sexually or anything. Same penalty for being accused of like multiple counts of sexual harassment. is testing positive for a banned substance. There's something wrong with that, and something has to be fixed, because this is not, it's not a good look for the NFL. Not that they care, because as soon as games kick off, everyone's going to forget, and they'll throw this under the rug. A couple years, you know, it'll be the Deshaun Watson story. We'll hear about his, you know, we'll get a 30 for 30 and all that stuff. But I thought there might be a chance that the NFL might come down harder on this, but I probably should have known better.
I got that list. Tristan Kuhn on Twitter tweeted this out. So Deshaun Watson, 6 games for 25 sexual violence. He's got SV, so I assume SV means violence accusations. His list, Darren Waller, 16 games, substance abuse. Josh Gordon, 25 plus games, weed. Martavis Bryant, indefinitely, weed. DeAndre Hopkins, 6 games, performance-enhancing drugs. Montez Burfict, 12 games, targeting. Calvin Ridley, 17 games, betting. Tom Brady, 4 games, deflated footballs in a game where his team ran for like 300 yards. Mm-hmm. Not that it mattered. Let's see. Oh, yeah, and let's not forget that the NFL initially gave Ray Rice a 2-game suspension for knocking out his wife in an elevator.
On video.
And then when they saw the video, they went, oh, my God, this is terrible. It's like, what did you think this was?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people, when I mentioned something about it, because it was rumored that it would be like 4 to 6 games about, I think it was like a month ago. And they were just like, well, it's allegedly, like they're alleged. And then they're showing me things like one of them wants to date Watson. One of them wants to do whatever, you know, even if they are allegedly, it's not, that doesn't make it okay. No. All right. Because you had to have done something to put yourself in this situation. Right. And when it comes to the Browns are just making a football decision. That doesn't make it right, but they're making a football decision, because you know what? This is a football league. They want to make money. They want to win games. They want to do whatever. They don't care about morals. I mean, remember Mike Vick? Mike Vick killed dogs, and they put him back on the field, and it was, like you said, the Mike Vick story. We're interviewing Mike Vick. You know, by the end of the year, we might have Aaron Andrews sitting down with Deshaun Watson, just like, man, how did you do it? How did you bounce back from all this stuff, Deshaun? And I don't know, you know, it's obnoxious. It's annoying. And like you said, some of these things, they didn't even touch a woman. Touching a woman's not okay. Like hitting a woman, like any of those things, you know, getting a massage. And here's the other thing. The Texans enabled this. They set all these massage sessions up, and then, you know, Watson starts revving the engine or whatever it is. And here we are. So I don't know. I don't even know like what a number would be, but like 6, like using past precedents is probably a method that arbiters go by, right? Because they're like, okay, what did they do in the past? Yeah. All right. 6 games. This is, there is no precedent for this. And they're going to throw them on there. And I think back to when the Vikings were rumored to have interest in him. And at the time, from a pure football standpoint, I thought, I probably was on the show saying this, if you feel like the risk is worth it, take it if you can do it. At this point, like, what are the Browns going to do? Half their fans have left. So, I mean, how much money are you making bringing, I'll say it, a sexual predator onto your roster?
Yeah.
So, like you said, it's disappointing, but not surprising. And I don't know, like,
if they win the Super Bowl, they think it's worth it.
Oh, yeah.
That's all they care about.
And who will be the person holding the Lombardi trophy?
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson in the middle of everything in the confetti.
I mean, Kevin Stefanski's got daughters. Like, what's he going to do when they ask him about this? Like, what's he's already in the media or whatever, being like, you know, I empathize or whatever with women and stuff. If you empathize with women, you wouldn't even trade for this guy.
Right.
You wouldn't even give him the time of day.
This was a football decision.
Yeah.
This 100% football decision. Everybody that they didn't care. They said, oh, he's not indicted. Okay, whatever.
And we should know. We shouldn't be surprised. It's disappointing. It should change. But this is how things have always gone in the NFL. When you're dealing with millions and billions of dollars, winning is always going to come first before over everything, over people on the outside over human life. You're going to do anything you can to make sure no one gets in the way of you and your money. And that's what this is. This is, if Deshaun Watson wasn't good, if he was, let's say this, if he was Baker Mayfield, he would not even be on a team right now.
He'd be out of the league. But because
he was rated as one of the best quarterbacks, he's young, he's still got potential, he's getting rewarded. And I think what the NFL did, they made a huge mistake by not putting him on like the exempt list until all this was taken care of. Because I think that letting him just be like, people have a bidding war on this guy who was accused of all this, who is accused of all this, you know, disgusting stuff. You know, teams are openly, but look at the Falcons. Matt Ryan was like, you guys want him? Get me out of here. Yeah. Like, they didn't even get him. And he's like, get me out of here. I don't want anything to do with you guys. Like, just get me out of here. So yeah, just a lot of mistakes. I'm curious to see what happens next, but I'm not going to expect anything significant to come out of the appeal if there is one.
And I think the other part that there's that word again, trigger, that triggers me is that, you know, this is basically like negotiated.
I know.
Watson basically was like, well, I'll sue if you suspend me for the whole year. The NFL made the mistake. You mentioned it. They weren't proactive in this. They're just like, okay, whatever. I mean, Dalvin Cook's still playing.
Let's not forget
about that.
Just has he been
all that out there?
Has he been criminally charged?
He has not. I believe there's just a civil case, so I don't think there's criminal charges. But it happened.
I don't know if the NFL can punish you if you haven't been criminally charged, which is why teams flocked to Watson when he was.
But why did the NFL not look into this? Like once the number got up to like 22, where it was at. Because they didn't want to. Yeah, there you go. it's like when you get a term assignment and you have to read a book and you're like, I'll just read like the first couple chapters, the middle chapter, and the end. Yeah. Like that's basically what they did for their investigation.
I had that all the time. I'd fail tests and people would be like, "Why? What went wrong?" I'm like, "I didn't study. I didn't want to. It's boring." I didn't want to put the effort in because I didn't care about it. And that's what the NFL is doing. They didn't put any effort in it because they don't care, because they know when he comes back, which, by the way, I believe his first game back is Monday Night Football. That kind of worked out more perfectly. I'm sure the NFL didn't have that in their mind when they made the schedule. And I believe it's against the Steelers. So, rivalry game. Deshaun Watson's coming back. I'm on it.
And his face will be all over the advertisement.
It's going to be the whole week. Because ESPN has Monday Night Football. So it's going to be the whole week. It's going to be all the Sean Watson. It's going to be disgusting. It's going to go under the rug. Like in a few years, we're going to see Deshaun Watson on like the Pivot or whatever podcast, or I Am Athlete, you know, explaining his side. It's disappointing. It's just a league that a sport that we love to watch, that we enjoy, and it's sad that the NFL can't just do what's right, which is just, even if he's not guilty, make sure of that. Just make sure of that. That's all people want. If he's not guilty, then make sure of it. He doesn't settle almost 30 lawsuits because he's not guilty.
Right. Like,
that doesn't happen. If he thinks he's not guilty, he's going to fight it in court. But he did it. He was like, fine, whatever. Let's just get rid of this. I'm sure someone was in his ear, like, just take care of it. Get it out of here. It'll be fine. But still, like, it's just disappointing. Like, that you would think, I would hope that the NFL would do better. But at the same time, we're not surprised.
Well, hopefully we have more optimistic stories ahead with the Minnesota Vikings here from here on out, rather. That's all the time we got, though, for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday and Thursday night at 6:15 p.m. Central Time right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. If you miss it, we got you covered in podcast form the next day on Apple and Spotify. But however you're listening, make sure you're liking, subscribing, giving us a good review, because we never want you to miss a new episode. For Adam Patrick, I'm Chris Shad, and we'll see you on Thursday night.